Mini episode 189 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, FDH Lounge, mini episode number 189. It is the FantasyDraftKelp.com Insider Show within a show here for NFL Week 2. Rick Morris and Carl Roth, as we've got your fantasy plays. And again, as we've indicated this year, we're going to be unique on what we did last year. As Kyle is here to either agree or disagree strongly, as the case may be with the FantasyDraftKelp.com picks. So we're just going to run through the games as we did for making the picks in our previous mini episode that we did. First one off the bat here, Tampa Bay at the Giants. The picks that we like in this game, and by the way, there's a lot of a disproportionate number of quarterbacks this week that we like very, very, very strongly as far as the FantasyDraftHelp.com picks. In this one, going to go with Josh Freeman as your marginal play for Tampa Bay. And looking at it for the Giants, I'm going to say all out as far as their marginal guys here. The Giants have a fair number of guys that are every week plays, particularly when you get into the receiving core and Eli Manning and Bradshaw. But all it's pretty much all out if you don't go with their tight end. I don't see the tight end play here this week.
Tampa Bay did do a good job against Carolina's running game, though, last week. And there would just be a cause for concern. I think Manning can pass all over, but I'd be a little leery of Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I'd be a little leery, personally.
Yeah, that's a tough one because in all likelihood, you're not going to have a better play than him on your bench. But, yeah, that could be a tough matchup.
It's true. He's a marginal. You know, he's probably in this league a solid number two. But,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't expect a lot out of him.
Yeah,
week.
So, some weeks.
Although, I do like the Giants to win this game big and maybe – you know, they can just they'll start running at the end of the game.
And I think that's going to work in his favor, which, by the way, I think is going to be the case in the next one here, too. Arizona at New England. For New England, marginal guy that I like here would be Stephen Ridley. Had a very excellent week one.
We made fun of the guy in our league for picking him early.
Uh-huh.
Oof, he did well. And New England's got a lot of big leads this year.
So far, so good. And I think, again, the scope of what the game is likely to be is going to play into this because the guy that I like, although I don't generally like him as a fantasy play, I like Kevin Cobb for Arizona. I think he's going to be chucking and ducking a lot trying to get Arizona back into the game and probably with some effect.
Garbage time points. New England, not exactly a vaunted Bill Belichick pass defense either.
No, they're not. I think Cobb is going to have the opportunities for a second strong week here. Minnesota at Indianapolis. Looking at this one, I do like Percy Harvin for Minnesota. And for Indianapolis, I actually like a couple of these guys here. I think they're really going to have some opportunities. He wouldn't necessarily be my first choice here, but again, particularly if you're looking at an injury at quarterback, and I can't imagine that John Skelton is your starter. You're a very unfortunate soul if that's the case.
I was going to say, about Kevin Cobb, too. I hope at this point that you do have someone better than Kevin Cobb.
Well, I hope so. And yeah. I hope you have somebody better than Andrew Luck. But I think Andrew Luck is going to give you a starter caliber performance, and that's the only bottom line as far as these recommendations. Donald Brown at running back. Really like Reggie Wayne at wide receiver and Cody Fleener at tight end.
Yeah, I think if you're in a league that's 12 teams or larger, mm-hmm. obviously. Luck's good. I mean, he's not a top 10 guy, I don't think. But, I think he is if you're in a, certainly larger league, I think with the matchup, he could be a starter. He's on my bench. He's my backup quarterback.
So. Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to start him over Cam Newton. But
We're not in the bye weeks yet. And that's the thing. We're going to recommend a lot of quarterbacks this week that, again, actually, the total number of recommended quarterbacks for this week is 23, which is basically about twice, if you're in a good league, what's really needed. But it does show you that, I think there's going to be a lot of starting caliber performances this week. New Orleans at Carolina. This is a weird one because I'll start with Steve Smith, who, again, is only considered a borderline play by FDH right now because of the injury status. He proves he's back okay. He's going to get bumped to an every week recommendation. Here's a weird thing. Neither Darren Sproles nor D'Angelo Williams really did much of anything last week, yet I like them this week. I'm going to throw out what they did last week and recommend both. I think Sproles is going to be important to New Orleans with getting that offense back on track as he was last year.
I like Darren Sproles a lot. Mm-hmm. I thought he kind of got a raw deal there in San Diego.
He did a lot for my Pervert Clown Society team last year.
I'm more interested in your opinion. I mean, obviously he's a must start, but is Cam Newton have a real big game? Because he really let me. He stunk last week,
and I think he
cost my team the game. Basically.
Yeah.
So
he's going to come back. I mean, you look at what RG3 did, carving him up last week, and
that's true. That's true. Yes,
that's got to be a good harbinger. I would certainly think. Like the QBs in the next game here, Kansas City at Buffalo, largely because of what I see as failings in the respective defenses. I'll put Castle and Fitzpatrick out there as recommendations. C.J. Spiller with the outstanding week that he had last week, and also Stevie Johnson. So a Bills team that I know that you're down on, but I like a number of their guys offensively this week.
And I'm sure Jamal Charles is an automatic start.
Absolutely.
A guy who didn't really get a chance to build on a great, because they fell behind in the mm-hmm. third quarter last week. But he was really, I mean, he had like 80 yards rushing.
Yeah.
No touchdowns. I mean, it's kind of pedestrian in fantasy when you don't have the touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You don't get over 100 yards. But he was on his way to an 100-yard game, but the Chiefs had to abandon the run because they got down by so much.
I've got him on two teams, and it's a thing where and one team I won going away. One team, again, I was playing a team that just I was playing against the Matt Ryan owner and everything else. So I was playing against a team that just went nuts on me. So neither game was in much doubt. So I didn't mind what Jamal Charles did. I kind of took the long view, and I would advise all Jamal Charles owners, if possible, to de-emotionalize it. Be glad that he was out there, and he looked like the old Jamal Charles.
He was getting a lot of 5 and 6 yard carries. Here's the thing, too. Is this a no-brainer? I'm putting C.J. Spiller after the big week he had last week with Fred Jackson injured. I'm putting him in over Michael Turner. Is that a no-brainer?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm a Michael Turner owner, and he's also on our every week list here. But again, we're considering Spiller a play for this week also. So you could go either way theoretically. My preference would be Turner. My preference, and particularly because I think he's due after last week. I think it's going to be a more balanced offensive attack for Atlanta. And the next one here, Baltimore at Philly. Like Flacco at quarterback, think he's going to have a strong year after what we saw last week. And then for Philly, I wanted to go with Jeremy Maclin as a recommendation. He's a little bit banged up. Instead, I'll go for DeSean Jackson. I feel like one of these guys is going to be a good play. I'll make it Jackson in the absence of Maclin.
I'd be really worried about starting Mike Vick.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be really worried about starting Mike Vick. And I want to see them give LeSean McCoy a legitimate shot. If McCoy obviously is a guy who you automatically start.
Yep.
But Baltimore used to be a team that never gave up 100-yard rushing games. I'd like to see them not. Andy Reid, look, it's a passing league, man. But you got to, if you're one of the best running backs of the game, you got to get more than 20 touches.
Yeah. That was a mistake.
Well,
find a way
to work him with the screen pass.
Sure.
It's just the same as a handoff.
He should have been used to gash the Browns more than he was last week. And again, it's interesting you bring that point up because, again, Baltimore and Philly, when you're talking from a fantasy perspective here, you're talking about Rice and McCoy, two of the top three fantasy backs, certainly on most boards coming into this season.
Baltimore receivers, do you like them a little bit more now that it looks like they're going with the new offense?
I do, but I'm just leery because I think Philly is going to be out to kind of shut them down this week
here.
Oakland at Miami. I've got Oakland as an all-out, obviously, on the non. Darren McFadden is an every-week play, but as far as the marginal guys, I consider Oakland to be an all-out. For Miami, the only one I like, and again, shades of New Orleans with Sproles, kind of plays the same role. I think Miami is going to try and use Reggie Bush to try to create some mismatches on Oakland this week to some success.
I can't think of anywhere else that I would even entertain the notion of playing here. They are getting Oakland's getting one receiver back, though, Denarius Moore?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't start him, but I mean, it's just interesting that he's coming. He's coming back.
That's an interesting note. Yeah, and that's a guy that I expect to put up some good weeks through the course of the season.
I think he had the most touchdown catches last year, second most yards.
So. I think he did. Yeah.
They were really bereft of offense last week. So.
Cleveland at Cincinnati, the Browns an obvious all-out on the marginal plays for them. For Cincinnati,
do the Browns have any player that you – that's
– I think Richardson, notwithstanding what we saw last week, is an every-week play. Here's the thing. We may get out the hook for him in the weeks to come as far as reconsidering that if it continues to be 8 in the box, 9 in the box, and horrible run blocking by the Browns. Again, people are wondering what happened with him last week. He was done no favors. People were pointing out that he didn't hit the holes with a lot of authority. Okay, fair enough, but he had no chance whatsoever. It was men against boys.
Yeah, and the problem is they have no pass. I mean, there's no threat of a pass.
No threat.
I'd be a little weary about Charmer. He's a borderline number two running back.
He's sort of dealing with the perfect storm. We've got him as a number two back. I do like Andy Dalton. This week, if you've got one of these quarterbacks that you're a little bit leery about, I think Andy Dalton may put up some good production this week.
And no Joe Hayden for the Browns. The
yeah,
quarterback.
That is going to help. Yeah, AJ Green not having to deal with Joe Hayden.
He'll have a huge game, AJ Green this week. Mark it down, dude.
He's going to. Yeah. Houston at Jacksonville for the soon-to-be triumphant Houston Texans. Certainly like Matt Schaub and Owen Daniels.
They'll win the game. Don't make no mistake about it. They'll win the game.
They will
cover them.
They will. Schaub is a guy pretty close to our every week playlist, a quarterback. And again, he may get restored to that list, much like Peyton Manning, if he proves that he's healthy through the course of the season. Schaub and Daniels are the guys we like for Houston. Obviously, Jacksonville all out on the marginal players.
Does Andre Johnson have a big week here? You think Jacksonville's got their defense isn't bad, Jacksonville's.
They're not bad. I think Andre Johnson can have a pretty good week, yeah.
Okay.
I look for that to happen. Dallas at Seattle, I just got to tell you that, and again, part of it is that Dallas has a number of guys that are every week plays between DeMarco Murray, Tony Romo, Jason Witten, but we're at the point now of which wide receiver is it going to be for them. Seattle is in kind of flux. For me, it's an all-out game on both sides of the marginal play.
I was going to say, what is your opinion on the, every league's favorite waiver wire pickup after week one, Ogletree for Dallas. Every league around the country was a race to get Kevin Ogletree.
Yeah, and people want to believe that and he was available on my waiver wire this week, too. I didn't pick him up because there wasn't anybody that I on my roster that I hated enough to throw back. Is he going to be the next Miles Austin or Warren Robinson where he keeps on doing it? Robinson to a lesser degree, obviously, than in Austin's breakthrough year.
It's Bryant, your boy.
That's the thing. It's too crowded.
That might wind up being Ogletree's best game.
If I had to guess, I'd say it's a better than 50% chance he's not going to duplicate that game this season.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's nobody marginal that I like on either side in this game. And the next one here, strange though it is, Washington at St. Louis. The only ones I like marginal are the quarterbacks, Robert Griffin III and Sam Bradford. Now, I heard that NFL.com got a little bit drunk on itself and made RG3 its fifth play at quarterback this week. I think Nate Noy, our FDH Director of Research, told me that previously. Not a big fan of a characterization like that, but I do think Griffin and Bradford have a chance to air it out.
Do you think in a couple of weeks he could become obviously you want to see a little bit more, but...
Well, I mean, if he continues the trajectory of last week, then obviously I don't think we're necessarily going to see that.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if he became an every-week play this season, particularly when you look at the next game. There's at least one guy who's in front of him here. Jets at Pittsburgh. This is another game where I like the quarterbacks, Sanchez and Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger, like Schaub, to me, is a guy that's right on the cusp of being an every-week play. So Griffin has first got to vault past guys like that if he's going to make it.
True, yeah, and remember, if there's no Revis, the Jets could be in trouble.
Yeah, and I think...
Sanchez, to me, I could not stomach starting him this week, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Because he played well, and I'm a defender of Sanchez, but he played too well last week to play well against
him. Well, he did, and I don't see the Jets doing what a lot of teams do well to Pittsburgh, and that is spreading them out like that, and trying to create... mismatches.
Stephen Hill looked good, though, at receiver.
Oh, he did. And that's a guy where the rap on him fantasy-wise this year was he might be a little raw. That's a guy that myself, our senior editor at FDH, Jason Jones, have really liked over the long term. If that guy is less of a developmental project than a lot of us thought, look out, because that's a guy that we thought could be a Pro Bowler in a couple of years. But, boy, one weekend.
I have him on my bench. Didn't use him.
He looked very well. So did everybody. I mean, yeah. Well, actually, come to think of it, that's one of the things that pissed me off. The team that blew me out of the water last week played Stephen Hill. I'm like, how much do your receivers suck? If you played Stephen Hill against me, you got away with it, you got lucky, but that just pissed me off. That's like, we should repo your points. You should not get the points for, if you're playing Stephen Hill week one, I'm sorry, your wide receivers suck.
You're very fired.
You're not entitled to those points. You're not entitled to it. We need to take your points and spread them around to the people Obama style.
I was telling you, it took the shot like, must make Obama. Yeah.
Well, it is before the election here, so we'll keep getting those in. Tennessee at San Diego. For me, Tennessee, they're an all-out team with the marginal guys. I'm just too shaky.
I mean, again, you don't want to do overreaction after week one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance, because he didn't do well last year, that Chris Johnson becomes a situation? Could you ever envision a world where he becomes a kind of... Let's look at the matchup. He sucked last
year. I'm going to have to see 5-6 games of just putrid performance. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, anything's possible. You do have to keep an open mind, you know, once a number of things, once the sample size grows larger. But, yeah, I would not be thrilled about starting them this week. But, again, well, we're not naming an awful lot of running backs here that I really do like. And on the other side, I mean, a perfect example of that, I'm a little queasy about Ronnie Brown, particularly after Monday night, but I'll recommend him. As well as the two wide receivers there, Floyd and Brown. So that will actually make an all-in recommendation for San Diego with the marginal players and the gimmies on that team of Rivers and of Gates.
Gates had a touchdown. That's always big.
Yeah, exactly. And San Diego, again, it wouldn't take as much for them to be an all-in play if Ryan Matthews was in there, because unlike Ronnie Brown, he is on our list of every week plays. The Sunday night game, Detroit at San Francisco. I consider Detroit, strangely enough, for the caliber of that offense, to be an all-out team. You're largely against the San Francisco defense. I think once you get past Stafford and Megatron, there's nobody that I really
agree.
Like there. Certainly
I
enough,
agree.
The running backs. I struggle because I do think that Brandon Pettigrew is going to have a good year. I just, against that defense, I just can't recommend it.
Too.
Yeah, I struggle, but I'm going to say all out for Detroit.
Somebody sent me a note that Stafford this week is going for an NFL record, maybe sixth consecutive 350-plus yard passing game.
Okay.
So, just keep that in mind. I don't think you'll get it.
No, not against San Francisco. I do, however, and again, what was I saying about quarterbacks?
Johnson's banged up. Megatron is banged up, too.
He is. That's going to make it tougher. I can't think of too many times through the course of the season, even with bye weeks, when I'm going to say that I like Alex Smith, but I think Smith is going to have a possibility here, and I think one game back in, I think
Randy Moss' defense isn't very good.
Yeah, Moss is the one guy I'm going to single out, even though Crabtree was decent last week.
Well,
I'm going to say Smith and Moss.
Mario Manningham, what do you think about it? He didn't do much. I have him on my bench.
Yeah, and I'll tell you,
they kind of have a lot of weapons all of a sudden on offense.
It's interesting. It's kind of a swamp as far as possibilities at running back and at wide receiver. You kind of don't know who's going to emerge to whatever extent. I'll tell you this. This may surprise you. 16 round draft. I'm in two leagues that have basically the same rules. In one of my two leagues, Mario Manningham was undrafted. That might blow your mind, but that's how uncertain everybody was.
I was in a 15, and I grabbed him pretty late, I remember.
Okay, yeah, that's how that shook out. The Monday night game, Denver at Atlanta.
You can start an insurance company with David Tyree.
Yeah.
Hey, we caught big passes in the Super Bowls, and it didn't mean anything 2 years later.
Yeah. Only guy in league history to have a big lot of stick-em on his helmet.
Yeah.
I like the quarterbacks in this one, certainly Manning and Ryan. I'll also say tight end Gonzalez for Atlanta to make Atlanta an all-in play with their gimme players as well. So
that's going to be a fun game. I think a lot of points scored.
It's going to be.
Demaryius Thomas is going to be really good. I think that hype is going to be well-founded. Caught another big touchdown. He could be that guy who catches that huge, you know, those 70-plus yard touchdown pad. He had one, you know, had to be deja vu for the Steelers
right.
Last week. And I'm telling you, Julio Jones, I said it in our other podcast when we were breaking down the game, this guy by the end of the year could be the second best receiver in the league.
Yeah, yeah, Julio Jones, man's game, bitch. He is playing at a high level. To recap our all-outs, and this goes back to the one that we put up on Twitter for the Thursday night game here, that, of course, Green Bay was an all-out recommendation on their marginal players for this week. Also, New York Giants, Oakland, Dallas, also Cleveland, Jacksonville, Seattle, Tennessee, and Detroit. The all-in plays for this week with the gimme players and the marginal players at these skill positions, Atlanta and San Diego. Five players that FantasyDraftHelp.com likes the best for this week, the marginal players. Again, a couple guys that are barely marginal players to begin with as far as how they're characterized. Three quarterbacks here, Matt Schaub, Peyton Manning, and Matt Ryan. Additionally, Manning's old hookup, Reggie Wayne. And the other one for this week, as I trace through the old chicken scratch here, Steve Smith of Carolina. Again, common denominator, yet another guy who is only borderline on being considered a borderline pick. When he proves he's healthy, he'll probably get restored to our every week playlist. So anybody that you really disagree with out of those, Kyle?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't. There was no one that really jumped out at me. Is really no.
Okay. All right. Total number of when you add up the every week plays, the gimmies plus the marginal ones here. Again, I don't think we've ever recommended 23 quarterbacks before with the 15 marginals. I don't think that'll ever be the case again this season. I'd be shocked if that were. It's always interesting in looking for the flex positions here between running back and wide receiver. Last week we thought wide receiver was a little bit deeper. This week, running back. You've got a combined 24 recommendations at running back with the every week's plus the marginals versus 20 at wide receiver. So I think if you're looking
at the running back position in this league right now.
Yeah, I
from a fantasy perspective.
Well, but here's the thing, though. We're recommending seven marginal running backs this week, seven marginal wide receivers, but the difference is we've got 17 every week plays at running back versus 13 at wide receiver.
Nice.
It's just a thing where, you know, you've got more guys that you know you're going to get at least that modicum out of. But I hear what you're saying. The second running back situation in the league is
tough.
A little disgraceful at the moment here, to be sure. Tight ends, seven every week recommendations. There's three guys that we like that are marginal plays for this week, bringing you to a grand total. My rudimentary grasp of math tells me of 10 for this week. So, any closing thoughts on Fantasy Week 2, Kyle?
I would say that you can't make the much like the betting community.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not overreact to 1 week. If you like, although Wes Welker got him, I scared.
Yeah.
What happened there? My team really didn't do anything. Got him, but players like that, I'm not ready. You can't. You don't want to be caught in that game where you're chasing things and you're benching a guy after a bad game and you're always having. Because there's nothing more frustrating than having all your good numbers come on the bench. That was me last week. But I didn't feel bad because it was C.J. Spiller and Stephen Hill.
Right.
So, you know, stay the course. Trust your drafting. Unless if you stink, then scramble it up.
Stay the course. I've been hearing that a lot from you recently, Kyle. But
well, yeah, stay the course. Hey, you know what? I don't know if I'm better than I was 4 years ago. I know I'm a lot better than I was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, well, these are for reasons non-economic as well. But as far as it goes with Wes Welker, you know, don't let, because the epitome of that, that you will only get somebody's points on the bench, the guy who is the greatest history, or the greatest poster child for that in the history of the NFL, there should be a little, they should have like a cleat or something of his in Canton when he retires, just so people can see the epitome of the most frustrating fantasy player of all time, Lance Moore.
Yes.
If you're a Wes Welker owner, don't let him make you a Lance Moore owner. Because with Lance Moore, you can't control it. If you play him, he'll screw you. If you bench him, he'll screw you. If you're Wes Welker, and this goes back to what we say, stay on him, man. Chase it. You know that he's due. In a football season, in a 16-week sample size, he's due, Kyle. If not this week, then next week. Don't let him screw you. Good point there.
I try. You know, I try to earn my keep over on this program.
There you go. There you go. So there's our words of wisdom. Take them to the bank. Cash it in. Go get your value. And NFL Week 2 for fantasy.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.